Morning cold, coffee steams.
From archive to your ears, this is Daily Tech Feed from the Labs. Your comprehensive, encyclopedic compendium of all things research. Following the latest trends on archive.org, that's ARXIV.org. This is Frontier Science. I'm Fry.
And I'm Bob. Great to be here, Fry.
From the labs.
Fresh grass, wild schemes, new worlds in a PDF beam. Daily tech feed from the labs.
Dispatches from the Edge. This is DTF from the Labs, episode 15. Chapter 1, The Promise and the Reddit Thread. Here's a statistic that might reframe how you think about medicine. If we cured every single form of cancer tomorrow, every type, every stage, completely eliminated, the average human lifespan would increase by roughly 3 years. That's it. 3 years. This comes from demographic analysis going back to 1990, and the numbers have held up. Cancer mostly kills people who are already old and who would soon die of something else age-related.
Which is exactly the argument longevity researchers make. You're playing whack-a-mole with individual diseases when the real enemy is aging itself.
Precisely. And that argument has now collided with a very real event. In January 2026, the FDA cleared the first ever human trial of a therapy designed to partially reverse cellular aging. The company is Life Biosciences. The drug is called ER100, and it will be injected into the eyes of about a dozen patients with serious vision loss.
And the Reddit threads exploded. People were posting about reversing aging by 75% in 6 weeks. About the end of death as we know it. About billionaires funding immortality research while the rest of us can't afford insulin.
Meanwhile, Elon Musk was at Davos saying aging is a very solvable problem, and Sinclair jumped on X to agree, replying that clinical trials begin shortly. Musk asked, ER100. Sinclair replied, yes, two of the world's most prominent self-promoters validating each other on social media. It was catnip for the hype machine.
And the man behind the science is David Sinclair, Harvard genetics professor, best-selling author, and, depending on who you ask, either a visionary or one of the most prolific hype merchants in modern biology.
Both of those things might be true simultaneously. That's what makes this story so interesting. Chapter 2, The Science of Scratches on a CD. To understand what Life Biosciences is attempting, you need to understand epigenetics. Your DNA is your genome. The instruction manual. But epigenetics is the system that decides which instructions get read and which stay closed. Think of it as bookmarks and sticky notes on the pages of a massive encyclopedia.
And Sinclair's theory, his information theory of aging, is that aging is fundamentally about those bookmarks getting scrambled over time.
Right. At his World Government Summit talk in February 2026, he compared it to scratches on a CD. The data is still there. The underlying DNA hasn't changed. But the cell can no longer read it properly. Genes that should be on are off. Genes that should be silent are active. Cellular chaos accumulates.
It's an elegant metaphor. But here's where we should note. The Yamanaka factors themselves were discovered 20 years ago. In 2006, Shinya Yamanaka showed that introducing just 4 transcription factors into adult cells could reprogram them all the way back to a pluripotent stem cell state. He won the Nobel Prize for it in 2012. The revolutionary part was proving that cellular identity isn't a one-way street.
But there was always a terrifying catch. Fully reprogramming cells in a living animal causes tumors because pluripotent cells don't know what they're supposed to be. They're blank slates that can become anything, including cancer. So the challenge can you go partway? Can you make cells younger without making them forget what they are?
Which is what partial reprogramming attempts. And it's a genuinely clever idea. But is epigenetic noise actually the primary cause of aging, or just one of many things that go wrong?
That's the critical question. Sinclair has been quite bold in claiming that epigenetic noise is the root cause. Many gerontologists would say that's an oversimplification. That aging involves DNA damage, telomere shortening, mitochondrial dysfunction, protein aggregation, and a dozen other processes happening simultaneously.
But the reason people are paying attention is because of what happened with the mice.
Chapter 3. The mouse study that made the cover of Nature. In December 2020, Sinclair's lab published a paper in Nature, one of the most prestigious scientific journals in the world. The lead author was Yuancheng Liu. The paper appeared on the cover with the headline, Turning Back Time.
So what did they actually do?
They took three of the four Yamanaka factors. Proteins discovered by Nobel laureate Shinya Yamanaka that can reprogram adult cells back into stem cells. The full set is OCT4, SOX2, KLF4, and CMYC, abbreviated OSKM. But CMYC is an oncogene. It promotes cancer. So Sinclair's team used only OSK, the three without the cancer accelerator.
And they delivered these three factors to the retinal ganglion cells in mouse eyes using engineered viruses.
Correct. AAV vectors, adeno-associated viruses, which are standard gene therapy delivery vehicles, and the genes were on a doxycycline switch, meaning the researchers could turn them on and off by giving or withholding an antibiotic. They crushed the optic nerves of mice, then activated OSK, and the axons regenerated. They tested it in glaucoma models and in aged mice, and vision improved.
According to the paper, the DNA methylation patterns, those epigenetic bookmarks we talked about, were restored to a more youthful state. And crucially, the cells didn't lose their identity. They didn't turn into stem cells or form tumors. They stayed as retinal ganglion cells, just younger ones.
And here's the key finding. The paper showed that mammalian tissues retain what Sinclair calls a backup copy of youthful epigenetic information. The scratches on the CD can be polished off because the original recording is still there somewhere.
That is remarkable if it holds up, but we need to be honest about the limitations. This was mice. Mouse eyes, a very specific cell type. And even in mice, this was partial reversal of specific markers, not whole body rejuvenation.
And here's something that often gets lost. The optic nerve crush model is a surgical injury. The researchers deliberately damaged the nerve and then tried to repair it. That's different from natural age-related degeneration, even though the paper also showed improvements in aged mice.
Right. Demonstrating axon regeneration after a crush injury is impressive. But it doesn't necessarily mean the same approach will restore vision lost gradually over decades of glaucoma progression.
The paper was peer-reviewed and published in Nature, which carries real weight. But the broader scientific community has raised questions about reproducibility, a theme we'll return to when we discuss Sinclair's track record. Chapter 4, What the FDA Actually Approved. Let's be precise about what's happening clinically, because the headlines can be misleading. The FDA did not approve an age reversal therapy. They cleared an investigational new drug application, an NED, which simply means Life Biosciences can proceed with a phase 1 safety trial.
Phase 1, which means the primary question being asked is not, does this work, but does this kill anyone?
Exactly. According to the company's chief scientific officer, Sharon Rosenzweig-Lipson, in an interview with Lifespan.io, they'll enroll patient number 1, wait 28 days, then enroll patients 2 and 3, wait another 28 days, and make dose decisions from there.
And they're treating two specific conditions, open-angle glaucoma and NEON, non-arteritic anterior ischemic optic neuropathy, essentially a stroke of the optic nerve.
The CEO, Jerry McLaughlin, told Fortune that NEON is particularly devastating because there's absolutely nothing to treat it, and there's a 20 to 30% chance it will hit the second eye within 2 to 3 years. so there's genuine unmet medical need here.
The treatment itself is a single injection into one eye. The AAV vectors deliver the OSK genes, and patients take doxycycline pills for about 8 weeks to keep the genes active. After that, the doxycycline stops and the reprogramming genes switch off.
And this is where it gets technically interesting. As MIT Technology Review reported, the doxycycline switching mechanism has been used extensively in lab animals, but never in humans. The switch is built from gene components taken from E. coli bacteria and herpes virus, which could potentially trigger an immune reaction.
Noah Davidson, who actually helped Sinclair implement the technique and now works at a different company called Rejuvenate Bio, told MIT Tech Review, he always thought that, for widespread use, you might need a different system.
And Daniel Ives, CEO of the UK competitor Shift Bioscience, gave perhaps the most memorably candid assessment. He said, and I quote, "Are there factors the best version of rejuvenation? We don't think they are, but they're way ahead of anybody else in terms of getting into humans. They have found a route forward in the eye, which is a nice self-contained system. If it goes wrong, you've still got one left."
That quote perfectly captures both the audacity and the risk.
Chapter 5. The Sinclair Track Record.
And this is where we have to talk about history, because David Sinclair has been here before.
At the intersection of genuine discovery and premature hype.
In the early 2000s, Sinclair's research on sirtuins and a compound found in red wine, generated enormous excitement. He co-founded Sirtris Pharmaceuticals, which was acquired by GlaxoSmithKline for $720 million in 2008.
And then the problem started. Outside labs couldn't replicate the key findings. The initial assay used to detect sirtuin activation turned out to be flawed. GSK shut down Sirtris in 2013. The resveratrol longevity story essentially collapsed.
There was also Overscience, a fertility company that collapsed amid its own replication failures. And in 2024, the Wall Street Journal published an investigation calling Sinclair a reverse aging guru whose companies have not panned out.
He also sells NMN supplements through various channels and has a best-selling book called Lifespan that critics say overstates the evidence for sirtuins as universal longevity genes.
And perhaps the most telling verdict on resveratrol came from Brian Johnston, the man running the most extensively tracked longevity protocol in the world. Johnston's blueprint program tests everything obsessively. He rejected resveratrol from his stack entirely. His words, "It doesn't meet the evidence criteria." When the person spending millions of dollars to measure every biomarker in his body looks at your signature compound and says no thanks, that says something.
And Johnson has weighed in on the Yamanaka factor approach too. He acknowledged that they factory reset cellular age, but flagged the core problem. They also erase cellular identity, the cancer risk. He's been pointing to newer methods called transcription factor perturbations as a more targeted alternative. His framing was a scalpel approach versus what he sees as Yamanaka's sledgehammer.
So even within the longevity community, among people who are genuinely enthusiastic about reprogramming, there's real skepticism about whether OSCE is the right tool. Johnson isn't saying age reversal is impossible. He's saying Sinclair might be using yesterday's method.
Which raises an obvious question. If even longevity enthusiasts think OSK is a sledgehammer, why did the FDA clear it for human trials?
Because the FDA isn't evaluating whether OSK is the best approach. They're evaluating whether it's safe enough to try in a small number of patients. And Life Biosciences built their case carefully. They dropped C-MYC, the oncogene. They added the doxycycline kill switch. They're targeting a single contained organ. One eye. Not the whole body, and critically, the patients they're enrolling have conditions with zero existing treatments. When someone is going permanently blind and there's nothing else to offer them, the risk calculus shifts dramatically.
So the FDA isn't saying this is the future of medicine. They're saying the preclinical safety data justifies letting a dozen desperate patients try it under close observation.
Exactly. An IND clearance is permission to ask a question, not an answer. Chapter 6. The stakes for everyone else.
But here's what worries me. If this goes wrong, if patients develop tumors, or the switching mechanism triggers a severe immune reaction, or someone loses what little vision they had left, the fallout won't be contained to Life Biosciences.
No, it won't. And this is the part that should concern everyone in the reprogramming space, including the people working on the newer, more targeted approaches that Johnson is excited about. The public and regulators don't draw fine distinctions between OSCA and transcription factor perturbations. If the headline reads, "Age reversal gene therapy blinds patient," the entire field takes the hit. Every company, every trial application, every funding round.
The sledgehammer doesn't just risk the patients in this trial. It risks poisoning the well for the scalpel that comes after it.
And that's the cruel irony. By racing to be first into humans with what even supporters acknowledge is a blunt instrument, Life Biosciences could end up setting back the very field they're trying to advance. The more precise approaches, the ones that might actually be safer and more effective, could get buried under regulatory caution triggered by someone else's bad outcome.
Which brings us to the money, because the pattern with Sinclair is always the same. Genuine scientific work gets amplified into commercial ventures that need funding to survive.
Sinclair co-founded Life Biosciences in 2017 with an ambitious strategy of launching multiple subsidiaries, each tackling a different aspect of aging. That strategy made limited progress. In 2021, they brought in Jerry McLaughlin as CEO to refocus entirely on the eye reprogramming work. The company has been described as lean, fewer than 20 people. They've been seeking additional funding, even as they announce breakthrough results.
Now, to be fair, the Nature paper on epigenetic reprogramming is a different beast from the resveratrol saga. It's peer-reviewed work in the top journal in Science, and the underlying concept builds on Yamanaka's Nobel Prize-winning discovery. Independent labs, including the Bobraham Institute, have confirmed that epigenetic reprogramming can rejuvenate cells.
But the broader pattern is hard to ignore. Bold claims, massive media attention, commercial ventures, and then reality catches up. The question is whether this time the science is strong enough to survive the hype cycle. Chapter 7, The Competition and the Critics. Life Biosciences isn't operating in a vacuum. The reprogramming space has attracted staggering amounts of money. Altos Labs launched with $3 billion in 2022, reportedly backed by Jeff Bezos. Coinbase CEO Brian Armstrong's New Limit raised $130 million. Sam Altman has backed Retro Biosciences.
Carl Flager, an investor in the space, told MIT Technology Review that reprogramming is like the AI of the bio world. It's the thing everyone is funding.
But Life Biosciences is a company of fewer than 20 people. They're not the richest, but they got to the clinic first, and that matters.
The competitors, though, have substantive scientific disagreements. New Limit says they won't be ready for human trials for 2 years because they're still searching for better reprogramming factors than OSK. The concern is that OSK turns on hundreds of downstream genes, and in some circumstances might push cells too far toward a primitive stem cell state.
At his WGS talk, Sinclair claimed that their approach had reversed age-related vision loss by up to 75% in weeks in mice and monkeys. That's a headline-grabbing number.
But 75% of what measured how? That claim refers to specific functional markers in animal models with surgically induced injuries, not 75% reversal of aging. When that number circulates on Reddit and social media without context, it creates an impression that's far grander than what the data actually show.
And this is the core tension. The science is genuinely novel and potentially important, but the communication around it consistently outruns the evidence. Chapter 8, What If It Works? And the massive it...
So let's play this out. Best case scenario for the trial.
Best case, they demonstrate safety. No immune reactions to the switching mechanism, no tumor formation, no retinal damage, and perhaps they see some signal of visual improvement, even though the trial isn't designed to measure efficacy. That would justify a phase 2 trial actually powered to test whether the therapy restores vision.
And if phase 2 shows genuine vision restoration in glaucoma or NAION patients?
Then you have proof of concept that epigenetic reprogramming works in a human organ. That doesn't mean whole body rejuvenation is around the corner. The eye is, as everyone notes, a contained system. But it would validate the fundamental premise that cells retain youthful epigenetic information and can be coaxed back toward it.
Life Biosciences says they already have promising preclinical data in liver fibrosis. If the eye works, other organs follow.
But the if is enormous. We're talking about a phase 1 trial with a dozen patients using a gene delivery and switching system never tested in humans, based on mouse and primate studies from a researcher whose previous commercial ventures have a mixed track record. Any one of those factors could derail things.
And even Sinclair's supporters acknowledge this. Carl Flager, who's invested in the space, said the optimistic case is that this solves some blindness for certain people and catalyzes work in other areas. His exact words were, "It's not like your doctor will be writing a prescription for a pill that will rejuvenate you."
Consider the timeline, honestly. If phase 1 goes well, they'll have safety data by late 2026 or early 2027. Then phase 2 for efficacy, which takes years. Then phase 3 for larger populations. We're looking at the late 2020s at the earliest, before we know if this works in human eyes. And that's before anyone even attempts other organs, let alone whole body rejuvenation.
Meanwhile, at his WGS talk, Sinclair predicted that within 10 to 20 years, healthcare would pivot from symptom management to age prevention. He talked about pills that could reboot the body like a programmable computer, adding that extending healthy lifespans by just 1 year could add $38 trillion to U.S. productivity.
Those predictions may ultimately prove correct, but they're coming from a man with a history of making predictions that run far ahead of what the data support at the time he makes them, and the economic projections, while theoretically sound, serve a dual purpose. They're also the kind of numbers you put in a pitch deck to attract investor funds.
Which brings us to an uncomfortable truth. Life Biosciences has been seeking additional funds. MIT Technology Review reported that Sinclair's company has recently been looking for more money to keep advancing the treatment. This is a company of fewer than 20 people competing against Altos Labs' $3 billion war chest.
What strikes me is that this story is a perfect case study in how science actually works versus how we want it to work. We want the breakthrough, the revolution, the moment when everything changes, and maybe this is the beginning of that, but probably it's one step on a very long road with many setbacks ahead.
The next 3 to 5 years of human trial data will tell us whether epigenetic reprogramming is the beginning of a medical revolution or another chapter in biotech over exuberance.
But here's what I want to leave you with. Even the critics acknowledge that getting to a human trial is a real achievement. Whatever you think of Sinclair's promotional style, the underlying concept that cells retain a youthful epigenetic program that can be partially restored is supported by peer-reviewed research from multiple labs. The question isn't whether the science is interesting. It absolutely is. The question is whether it translates from mouse eyes to human eyes and eventually to human bodies.
And whether the gap between what the science shows and what gets promised to investors and the public will close or widen.
As Sinclair himself might say, watch this space. But watch it with your critical faculties engaged, not just your hopes.
Fair enough. Though, I will say, if they do crack age reversal, I want a refund on my 30s.
You and everyone else. Dispatches from the Edge.
This podcast is entirely AI generated. Scripts written by Claude Opus 4.6. Voices rendered by Tianwen 3TTS. That's Quen 3TTS for us English speakers. Find daily tech feed from the Labs on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever fine podcasts are distributed. All of our shows here at Daily Tech Feed are available at pod.c457.org. Not affiliated with any companies or researchers discussed. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
New world in a PDF beam. Daily tech feed from the labs. Tiny sparks turning into maps. Archive pages in a gentle sway. Tomorrow's tricks in my ears today.